Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2018. Miss Anna Christiansson, founder of Sportswear Inc. presents How to Start a Sustainable Apparel Brand.
Welcome. I'm really, really excited to be here. Sustainability is a huge part of what I do today, and I'm really glad that I get to share this with you today. And today the presentation is going to be about how to start a sustainable apparel brand. My name is Anna Christiansson, and I'm one of the founders of Sportswear Inc. together with Klaus. We are based in Stockholm, in the outskirts of Stockholm, in the archipelago. And we have had Sportswear Inc. for about a year. And what we do is that we are an online educational platform that help people start and run apparel brands. Everything from a business idea to launch and beyond. And the platform is that there's loads of free content. You can go and deep dive in everything that has to do with apparel entrepreneurship. And there's a membership program as well, paid monthly, and you get support, and there's loads of other content there. I will share with this with you later. And the reason we're doing is this, because we've used to run two own brands. I've worked in the industry as a technical apparel designer for about 15 years. Klaus has a background in tech, e-commerce, project management, and brand development. And we've gotten loads of contacts from people asking us, okay, I want to launch my own brand. How do I do? I need help. And so also, I used to go to fashion school at Parsons in New York. And people today, they don't go to fashion school 4 years, and then they launch their brands. It doesn't matter what age you are, what background you have, you get an idea, and all of a sudden you want to start your brand. And of course, you're not going to join a fashion school then if you're whatever, 40 or whatever. So our platform is set up so you get everything, all the tangible content. You can go in there, and we will have you up and running in no time. And today's agenda is that we're not going to do a deep dive. Sustainability is crazy, intricate, and complex, and it would probably take me the rest of the week to talk about it. So we're just going to scrape on the surface. I just want to do a quick check here. How many of you guys have already started and launched a clothing brand? Okay. How many of you guys have an idea or are in the midst of launching, but you haven't launched yet? Okay. And how many of you have a dream that someday you might want to start an apparel brand? Okay, good for you. Okay, so the presentation is set up to kind of give all three areas, you guys, three of you, to give you content and information. And I'm sure even though you've launched, you will learn a lot from this presentation. So we will go through, when we've reached the final slide, you guys will have a great understanding of what it takes to run a sustainable apparel brand. And then we will run through the process from idea to launch product. And we have a little basket running around here somewhere. Just as a little thank you that you guys are here and that you're listening to this presentation, we have a little present for you in the end. So I will be giving you a little Performance Days offer. And then we will have a giveaway bundle with all these templates, checklists, and bootstrapping lists, and all this. We will be sending you, email you after the Performance Days fair is over. So if you want this, you will put your business card in the basket and you will receive it after. Oh, it's over there right now. And so the most common questions that we get are, okay, where do I start? What's the process? And what do I do? People are completely confused. They don't know what to do. So the process that we're going to run through today is this. In every single step, we're going to touch on sustainability points. So you have literally like a tangible list on exactly what to do in all these steps. So mindset, brand values, the mission, idea and customer need, marketing, design and collection, sourcing and manufacturing, packaging, logistics, product care and afterlife, and sales and communication. And so you guys are here because you want to learn more about how to start and run a sustainable brand. But what does it actually mean? There's so many names for it, like environmental friendly brand, eco-friendly. You've got ethically made, responsibly made. But I think all of them kind of say the same thing. So actually, a sustainable brand is that you're trying to do as little harm on the planet and you're taking care of the people that are involved in and around your business, and that you hopefully and eventually have some sort of a sound, profitable business plan. If you don't have that, then you probably won't be in business for long. And if you can't be in business for long, then you won't be able to take any necessary steps to actually help out in this industry. So what I stand for is what I stand on. You guys know I'm not gonna bore you with, you know, littered streets or oceans that are kind of full with plastic. So you're not gonna see any pictures of that here. But what it means is that you're seeing how many brands are out there, and you guys know how much damage this industry is making. The apparel industry is the third most pollutant industry in the world today, right after the meat industry and the oil industry. So I'm not going to, you know, be all negative here and kind of drag you down, but from now on, I'll give you the tools and the lists and steps you can take so we can, you know, at least have a somewhat more positive impact in the future and lower the harm. Starting a brand in general, not a sustainable brand, is super, super hard. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of knowledge, it takes a lot of money. So why would you even go into, let's start a sustainable brand, let's make it even harder for ourselves? Well, there are actually some benefits with having a sustainable brand. Of course, the obvious ones, to lower the environmental footprint, but then you've got the more efficient operations from a streamlined supply chain. There's improved brand value and reputation and competitive advantage. If you're an established brand, it's kind of hard to go from having, you know, been in the industry for 10, 15 years, 5 years, all of a sudden, oh, let's go green. You won't have much credibility. And also, it will take you a long time because there's so many processes that are in place that are need to be replaced. There's new mentality that needs to be set. So it's crazy hard. But if you're a new brand or a fairly new startup brand, you can implement all this from the get-go and you already will have an advantage. So how does the industry harm the environment? Here's a little list. Of course, this list could go on and be, you know, showed in this whole room. But the pesticides in the cotton production that are now, they harm both the planet and the people. People die because of cancer. Then you've got the bleaching and the dyeing, all the chemicals and the high water consumption. There's the fossil fuel used in synthetic fibers. There's the waste in the factory that end up, in nature. You've got carbon emissions in transportation. You've got the packaging waste, the plastic and the paper that also usually end up in the oceans and in nature. You've got the energy consumption in the production, and 14% of all the clothes get recycled. Most of it end up in landfill. And I read somewhere recently that the average life of a product is 2.2 years. That's nothing. I'm sure it's slightly higher in the outdoor industry and in the performance wear because they actually have a function and it's not just a fashion item. But still, 2.2 years, it's kind of crazy. And of course, the last sentence with the bad working conditions and long working hours and child labor. Then the list goes on and on and on. And of course, sustainability has been a trend for a couple of years now. But some brands have done it fairly and great from the beginning. like 30, 40 years ago. And some brands, they just want to tag along on the trend, and they say they're green and sustainable, but they're actually not. This is called greenwashing. When you get involved in this greenwashing, you damage your reputation. Your customers won't take you for real because you won't have any credibility. And let's say you make 1, 2, 10, 15 things that are really, really great. No one's going to believe you anyways, because if you're lying about something important like this, then why would they believe you with the other stuff? So what's most important here is just to be authentic and to do what you say you do and to actually have evidence for what you do. If you get an audit or if you get people involved, because the customers today, I mean, they are I pushed something. I'll disappear. Okay, sorry. The customers today are really knowledgeable, and they're going super, super detailed, and they read up on everything about their favorite brands. And of course, you need to be clean, and you need to just do it as you say you're doing it. And of course, it helps if you practice what you preach. If you say, yeah, we're having this great sustainable brand, but then I'm going, to H&M and shopping every other week, and I'm flying, and I'm doing this and that, it's kind of not so credible. So if you're your biggest advocate, and if you're the person that's, having all this passion for this brand, then of course it needs to be lived fully and 100%. Sustainability is and starts with the mindset, and in the end it becomes a commitment. When you run a sustainable brand, you can't just, let's do it, and then you start, and then you're in it 1-2 seasons, and they're like, let's do something else. You can't. If you're starting it and if you're doing it, this is what you're doing. This is your road. This is your path to, I shouldn't say enlightenment, but this is, you're doing this for the longer run. So to actually commit and decide that this is the way to go, whatever else happens, that's the most important. And of course, there is no such thing as a fully sustainable brand, because if you really want to be super sustainable, you're not going to make any brand anyways, because there are already tons of other brands. But with the knowledge and with the information that's out there, you can from now forward make small steps towards improving this industry and just leading the way for other brands. First, you need to commit and decide on your sustainability ethics. So what does it mean? To have a fully sustainable apparel brand is complex, as I said, and you cannot start and do it perfectly and great 100% on all areas. You need to pick some areas, commit there, learn, nail it, and then move into other areas. For example, like the design concept and material selection, that's an easy way because you can work with the materials, you can work with the trims, then you've got the manufacturing, so those kind of goes hand in hand. When you've kind of nailed that, you know that this, I've got this, we're good here, that's when you can move into other areas like the logistics and distribution, and then you've got the sales and the packaging, and then into shops eventually. So take it one step bit by bit, because otherwise you're going to get overwhelmed. I'm assuming that people that want to start their own brands, they're not having a team of 10 people. You're probably you, yourself, and your cat. So it's just, don't take on too much. Just nail some areas, then move on into the next. Brand values attract the right customers. The brand values are mainly there for you to set some core, it's like the brand values for me are like the spine. You always have them there. You know why you're doing things. If you're confused with taking different directions and different decisions, you can always double check it towards your values. Is this material 100% sustainable, whatever? If it's not, then I'm going to I'm not going to take this. Oh, this manufacturer called and gave me this super good, price, but they're not certified, then I'm not going to take them. So you can always have your values to stand back on and to lean back on. And here with the values, they are also there for you to go to bring everything to your customers. So the customer want to belong to you because of your values. So always be authentic with what you are here to achieve and take accountability for your impact and just be completely open and honest with it and make it public. Never hide anything or anything and then include your customers. Again, they want to get on board on what you're doing. They want to belong, they want to connect, they want to do this with you. And then mission and vision, it's like your framework and your purpose. We had the brand values. Now you're going into a mission and the vision. So making this super, super clear. I'm sure you've seen this, read the Patagonia mission statement like 100 times. It's so good because it's so short. It's so clear. I'm sure the customers know exactly what they get and the employees know exactly what to do. Because it's so clear. There's no misunderstanding. There's no confusion. Again, so the mission and the vision should be your road forward. And it should include the three P's: people, planet, and the profit. The market scan, of course, if you don't know what area you're going in, what segment you're in, then how else are you going to position yourself in the market? So get to know your market and what your competitors, look at prices, look at what you get for the prices, look at what type of materials they have. And I guess one of the most important things is to look at what they don't have. What are the gaps that they're not filling? That's where you're supposed to go in and take that space. And this information that you're figuring out here is going to help you later on when you're going to decide on your collection and your design. Then we've got the idea and the customer need. So what are you trying to accomplish that's bigger than some clothes? Like, what is it that you're going to do then? Yeah, I'm going to make a pair of tights and a tank top, and it's great. Well, it's not enough. Why are you starting a brand? Like, what is the reason? What is your brand going to do for your customer? How is it going to help your customer some way or the other? Is it going to improve their life, their comfort, their whatever? What added value are your products bringing to the world, to your customers, to the buyer, to the environment? And what identity are you trying to represent? Because your customer is buying in on the identity that you're providing, but also your customer is buying your products specifically to enhance their own identity. So this here is super, super important. It can be kind of hard to answer these questions, and when you sit there like, oh, it's so complicated, I'll do it later. But when you know all this, the road forward is just so clear, and you'll know exactly why you're doing your business, how it's going to look like, and for whom it's going to be. Today, in this crowded market, it's better to be unique and different than to actually be better. Because there's so many brands out there that are doing a fantastic job, that have the right materials, they have the right story, they've got the right prices, they've got tons of customers already, they have all the money in the world. But if you're not visible there, and if people are not noticing you for whatever reason that you're bringing to the market, then it's not going to matter. So again, what are your unique selling points? This information is later going to help you in your sales pitch. So it's all related. It's all like a chain. So again, what impact do you want to make, and what steps are you taking to make less environmental harm? Just go through all these questions and try to answer them. When it comes to the marketing and the brand, if you look at it broader, what's the most important are your values. So it's your why, it's your transparency, it's your honesty, it's your ups and downs, you're sharing this with your customers, you're telling them your story, they're human, you're human, humans like working with humans and like being with humans in general, so just bring them in. Don't just give them like, yeah, here's a pair of tights. There needs to be more than that. And then when you're going down into actual product, so how do you market sustainability? It's through education, inspiration, and motivation. So first, you need to label it. You need to tell people that this is what we're doing and this is what it means, and you need to put it and talk about it everywhere, because if people don't know about it, that you're doing all this struggle, that you're actually putting this effort, you're paying the extra for the sustainable material, you're paying the extra for your manufacturers, they don't know, and you can't, you know, bring in the real customers that you want to attract, because you've got the core values and they've got the core values that are going to match. And if they don't know about your core values and what you're trying to do and all the effort you're putting out, they can't come to you. Certifications are another thing. We will talk about certifications later on. But certifications are a way for you to, it's like a proof. Yeah, you are showing that I mean this. This is a business for real. It takes audits. It takes money to get certifications. But also when you work and ask for certifications from your suppliers and manufacturers, of course, it will show them that you mean business, that you know what you're talking about, and that you want them because of their certifications and what they do sustainably wise. So it's, again, here it's also a match. And then marketing wise, offer some services, repair services. What do you think about the afterlife of the product? So repairs, resells, rental services, recycle. And then the activism means that get involved in the charity and in organizations. Just stand for something. And stand there loudly and clearly and let them know what your values are and what you believe in, what you stand for. Sustainability starts with design. First of all, from the bigger picture, it's in the timeless design. A product, if it lasts longer, of course, is more sustainable than if a product is used just 2.2 years in a shitty material and it's going to deconstruct because it's badly made. So timeless design, this includes the colors, of course, this includes the materials, the zippers, all the trims. It helps if it's multifunctional, of course, because then you could use this product broader. Minimize waste in the pattern lays, how you construct and how you design the product, just to try and minimize the pattern pieces that are going to be thrown away afterwards. The ethical production, of course, it's just get production that treats their people right and that also has just good facilities. Good, if they treat their people right, their people are going to do a better job for you. It's just a sound business. Designed to reduce water, energy, and chemicals. Again, here it depends on which washings you're going to have on your products, what finishes, etc. Repair and secondhand service. It could be kind of easy to say, okay, we will take back your product once a year. Kind of like you have a car. You put your car to service, and then you take it back. And that you know it's there and you know it's fine, or you do your doctor check. You go and then you check, it's fine, now you bring it back. It's something like this could be done, and of course it would, your customers will be forever loyal because it'd be so easy for them. They don't have to think about, oh, I've got a hole in my pocket. Well, you'll fix it and they'll be able to use that sweater for like 3 more years. And then have cyclability in mind. Okay, depending on which materials, which trims you use, can you deconstruct that product and recycle it? Or can you deconstruct the product and do something else with it and not just throw it away? So when you're going first broader into the collection, of course, if you're niched, it helps because you don't have to think about so many different things. You need to remember you're going into, of course, like activewear, then you're going into, let's do maybe tights, or let's do maybe mid layers or whatever. You'll have one focus area and you'll be able to do a better job, and the customers and the buyers will know you for one area. It'll be easier for them to connect with you. They know your quality, they know what you have to offer, then they'll expand with you. Collection structure, styles and prices. So here, just make sure that all products have a reason of being. So you don't have in the collection products that are kind of similar, similar price, similar material, similar style, because they will cannibalize on each other. So just make sure you have like a matrix when you do your collection. So price-wise, more expensive, less expensive, and you know, so it goes in a grid. And then also material-wise, you've got all different materials just to bring something, some depth to your collection. Edit, keep what's necessary. There is no need for you to bring all your ideas to market. If you only have 5 or 6 pieces that are great, then maybe you should wait with the 7th or 8th or 10th. Bring that on later and think a step ahead. Again, this ties into, if you've got products that you're still working on, maybe it's good to enter the market with a niche segment, then you're bringing on other styles. The seasons go so quick, so you can't just focus on one collection and then, sit and wait. It's a constant evolvement of the products. And what's the next style? What's the next product? What's the next segment that we're going to go into? And for when you reach the design phase, sustainability means, as I said, it means to have products that last a long time. This has to do with the visual. It needs to look nice. It needs to have a great hand feel because people are going to use it, going to have it on them. It needs to have a great fit and comfort. No one's going to use a product if it doesn't fit right. And all the components, of course, should be qualitative and last. They should just not break. And the product is your business, so this is where your focus should be. And the customer should just love your products, because when they love a product, they just want to use it over and over, and they'll come back for more. So here, a little summary. Start small, one product or one segment, and own it, and then expand. Here's a little list with garment standards that you could implement. So every time you're wanting to put a garment to life, and you have an idea, if you think about this list, that it should, all these boxes should be ticked off, and then your garment is ready to go into market, then you're fairly fine. So it should have a clear purpose for the product. It should have a timeless design, durable materials and construction. It should be a versatile product. It should have high quality materials and manufacturing, designed with afterlife in mind, and then it should have an afterlife plan. So actually, when your product is it can't be used anymore, or the person just doesn't want it anymore, what does it do with it? Supplier selection. So we're going into sourcing now. First of all, you need to learn the basics. No one can tell you what you need. You need to figure out yourself what you need depending on the products that you have. So what are the differences of the different type of materials, and what's their environmental impact? Just learn this. It doesn't matter. Of course, you can bring people on board. You can ask people for guidance, whatever. But you need to know what it does. And then know your sources. Work with trusted, transparent, certified suppliers that have sustainability a priority. I'm sure you guys have walked around and you've seen all the blue signs, and you've seen all the... Well, at least it shows you that they are thinking about it, they're working on it, they're doing something towards it. So that should be some sort of an editing plan for you, even, when you walk around and just see the list on what they do and what they work with sustainably. And consolidate your sourcing. So work with fewer good suppliers than with many. Because if you work with fewer good, they can supply you with more materials, ship everything from one place. It's easier contact-wise. If you need to go there and travel, you go to one place. You don't go to 10 different places. And also for you, just to keep you sane, because you've got so much going on anyways as a single, you know, business person, it'll be easier for you to do business this way. And then when you source the materials, you can look for recycled materials, certified materials like organic cotton, hemp, linen, for example. You can work with pure 100% materials or mixed materials. This is kind of contradictory. Hear me out. So what I mean with pure materials, depending on what your product is and what you want it to do, what the afterlife plan is for that product, maybe it's better to use 100% materials because it's easier for them to be recycled. But if you have something else in mind that you want a product, let's just take a t-shirt, for example, to last longer, be washed less, it's better for the t-shirt to be a mix, like a cotton poly mix, a cotton nylon mix or whatever, because it's going to last longer than a 100% cotton t-shirt. So again here, know exactly what the purpose of the product is, because that's also it will help you out with the choices for your materials. You can use leftover materials. I'm sure you've seen the marketplace over here. This is exactly what I mean. You can call suppliers as well. Talk to the guys downstairs. Okay, what do you have that's dead stock? Show it to me. The same with the factories. The factories have dead stock as well that they don't, you know, they work with companies. They don't work with them anymore, but they still have 350 meters of their fabric that's just laying there. So keep this in mind when you talk to your manufacturers and suppliers, because it could be a fairly cheap way to get great materials. And also you can do something fancy and interesting with it and promote it instead. Just say like, this is a one-off collection because we've got this special material that no one else has anymore. So do something interesting with it. And of course, to work with materials that are non-toxic, have non-toxic inks, dyes, and finishings like fluorocarbons. Then we're going into manufacturing. So pick manufacturers like the suppliers that have sustainability a priority. Because here they show when they have this topic and they're talking openly about it, it shows that it is a priority and they mean business. They know it's not just like, oh yeah, we are working on it. And when I mean the sustainability side, of course, they should be energy efficient, low in water and chemical usage. They should have all the ethics standards, so child labor free, good working conditions, fair wages. They should work with the code of conduct. And here for the code of conduct, it's kind of intricate and the code of conduct can be really long. But if you go into environmental friendly brands or sustainable brands, you can check out their code of conduct there and just go into, I don't know, 3-4 different ones and see what it says and try to copy and paste and make it into one that suits you. And again, certifications. You've seen the blue sign. There's Fair Trade, there's GOATS, and there's Okotex. So there's so many different ones. But again, learn what they do and what to ask for. Have third-party audits. If you don't have third-party audits, you can't really guarantee that they're actually doing what they're saying they're doing. And unannounced visits are great. Just bring it up and say, oh, if I would just show up one day, how would you react? And just see how they react. Because they should be, yeah, it's fine. Come whenever. How can you minimize the damage in the manufacturing? So work with local manufacturers. It's easier for you. You don't have to travel. You support local manufacturing. Of course, they need to do whatever you need the products to do. They need to have the machine park, of course. When you work with vertical supply chains, this could be beneficial in several ways. So it could be slightly cheaper. They control both the fabric and the product manufacturing, so there's no shipping, deadlines can be slightly shorter, and also they have more control. If something happens with the material, they're quick, they can change it before they put it into production. You can minimize they can minimize packaging, minimize waste, reuse and recycle the waste, and just produce according to the demand. So if you only have an order for, 200 pieces, but the factory has a 500 piece minimum quantity, well, it's better to pay the surcharge instead of, you know, overproduce it, and then it sits in your warehouse and then you have to put it on sale. Then we're coming to logistics. So now we've got the materials, we've got the products, we've manufactured everything. Here are some steps to think about when it comes to the logistics. Source materials and production in the same continent. Try to reduce shipping. Of course, this is also kind of crazy to, if you manufacture in Europe, it's kind of crazy to bring material from Asia and vice versa. You'll shipping things across the world is going to get messy for you when it comes to all the tolls, all the lead time, all that stuff. Ocean and rail shipping is usually better instead of truck and air. But this, of course, it implies that you have done everything in your plan and you have everything time-wise, so you're not, if you're out in the last minute, then you kind of have to fly it by air. You need to have optimized full boxes. Discuss about this with your manufacturer. What does your product look like? How can they minimize or optimize the boxes with your products? Plan the transport to have full trucks both ways if you can. Discuss this with the truck company. Low energy and optimized warehouse. Again, this, if you know about this and you know that this is a question you need to have, this will also help you out depending on which warehouse you pick. And have efficient storage and picking in the warehouse. Again, just optimized, more streamlined. And sustainability runs through everything, not just the materials and the manufacturing. It should run through the whole entire product life and stage in the product life. So sustainability in packaging and presentation. You can have recycled and recyclable materials in the hang tags and the labels. You can have recycled fiberboard hangers that actually take less space when you buy them. They're lighter. You don't have to. Doesn't take that long. Plus, they're not biodegradable, but you can recycle them. Then you've got reusable shopping bags. It's a way for you to show your brand, and the customer will walk away with it for a long period of time. And then you've got recycled presentation interior material. Why not? You don't need to buy everything new. Why not recycle that stuff as well? Because it enhances your story and your sustainability profile. Reduce packaging and recycled packaging. And then why not have the packaging to be multifunctional like in the picture? There's so much you can do here. It's just creativity. And again, like, there's tons of different suppliers here that you just, you know, keep an open discussion with them and ask them for tips or ideas or how can you do this. So you kind of do this together. Product care and afterlife. Of course, there should be super instructional care labels and hang tags. The instructions should stick with the product for as long as possible. So if the customer forgets or doesn't know what to do, it should be there easy for them to know what to do. Repair, resell, or recycle service. I mentioned this earlier. You just educate the customer that, no, do not throw that away. Do something else with it. Donate it. Or bring it back. We'll do something with it. There's tons of things you can do. And have a crazy educational website. Because again, the people that are there and that buy into your brand, they're conscious. They want to learn more and they want to take part and be part of this. And they want to do good. So just teach them how. Just show them what to do. And when it comes to sales, if you're not having an online sales, direct-to-consumer business model, and you have to meet agents, distributors, or do the retail model, you eventually have to do a sales pitch. And of course, when you pick the agents and the distributors and the retailers, of course, your aim should be to pick those that have a sustainable profile, because they, in their turn, have your customers that you want to attract. They've got the conscious customer. Preferably do it yourself. This should be you're the core of this business, and you've got the passion and the vibe, and this is going to rub off on the buyer. And you should simplify it. Preferably just give them one or two, three things to remember, because they meet so many people, it's going to be confusing. So if they're going to remember you or your brand, just give them one, two, or three things. That's it. And tell them why your brand exists. And make it easy for them. Just serve it on a silver plate. Here it is. Here's all the information. It looks great. Just give it to them, because it would make it much easier for them to choose you. And again, you're not looking to sell to everybody. You're looking to sell to the right people. So here's a little list with what your sales pitch should include. So you've got your company pitch, and then you've got your line sheet with your collections, and you've got your prices and delivery dates. Great salesman samples, because remember, they buy what they see and not what you're saying that the product's going to be like. And have preferably sales materials with you as well, because again, it shows that you're wanting to present your brand in the ideas that you have and not just leave it, you know, up to them to decide. And merchandising examples, just because you've thought through this all the way to the presentation. I'm not going to do a deep dive here, but this is a slide with certifications. Take a picture of this, and please do a deep dive. Take a couple of hours and go on all of these sites, because there's so much information here, and there's so much good content. And if you know what this is and how you want to work, then it's easier for you to ask questions to your suppliers and your manufacturers. And the HIG index is a way for you to check yourself where you're at in the stage. How sustainable are you actually? And then it shows also your flaws, and then it means that you know what you need to work on. Here's some brand inspiration. There's a mix here of outdoor brands, activewear brands, ski brands, just brands that do sustainability pretty good. Some have done it for like 100 years, some have done it for 40 years, some are fairly new, but there's tons to learn about from these brands. So just have a look at, like I mentioned, the code of conduct, and you could even see which factories they're working with. You can even see their struggles, so you don't have to learn again by making the same mistake. Just brand inspiration. And before we part ways, I want to leave you with four tips. Our customers, when they get back to us and say, "Oh, I'm struggling and it's shit and we cannot do this anymore, this and this and this has happened," most of the time is because they've detoured from their values. It's because they haven't stuck to their values. And it's because they're like, "Oh, maybe we should do this more commercial," or maybe, "Oh, yeah, maybe we don't need to do that sustainable. We could cheat a little bit here. Oh, let's, you know, lower the prices a little bit here, because maybe we're going to get more customers." When you know your values, you know exactly what to do. And when you detour from your values, that's when shit is going to happen. And ask tons of questions. This industry moves so quickly. Researches that have been done, you know, 6 months ago are not valid anymore. So you need to constantly stay on your toes and stay curious and just, you know, okay, so this was valid then. What's happening now? What's the next? Just try to stay really up to date on everything that's important for you. 100% responsibility, again, this is also one of the problems with the customers that get back to us and have problems. When they don't take 100% responsibility of their business, then you've got all the excuses. And when you've got all the excuses, that's when you don't actually own your business. You're not owning your business anymore. You've got, "Oh, the factory screwed me here and the supplier didn't deliver." Yeah, but did you actually call 2-3 times to double check and confirm that the material is going to arrive? No. So it's just by making that decision, like, okay, I'm owning this, I'm taking 100% responsibility, you'll always know what to do. And then have patience and perseverance. Owning and having and running a sustainable brand is taking time. Things are moving quickly or too slow because you've got all the season, you've got all the lead times, but it will happen. It will eventually happen. So I'm just keep your hopes up and continue with the great job that you're doing because it will pay one day. I mentioned about our membership program. Here's the Performance Days offer. So if you enter the sportswearinc.com/PD2018, you'll get one extra free month. And it's valid for 24 hours. So, you know, when Performance Days is over, the offer is gone. And what we're actually doing in the membership, what it is, it's a platform with a lot of apparel entrepreneurs from around the world. And there's guidance, advice, mentoring, there's time schedule so you need know exactly what to do, when to do it. There's project planning and structure so you know what steps to do everything in. We've got loads of manufacturers at the moment. We've got about 400 manufacturers list on there. In a month, we're growing it to about 600. And there's guides and articles and downloadable templates, which is actually what our most customers come to us for. Because as I said, you want your business now and you don't want to go and learn and, you know, figure it all by yourself. We give it to you, it's done. You take the template and you work on it. It's fairly quickly. You don't have to figure everything out by yourself. And so here's the giveaway bundle. I don't know where the basket has gone. Oh, it's over here. Great. So we will send you this probably when I get back home on Friday. You will have this emailed to you. And of course, get in touch, ask loads of questions if you have. We're always here. Go and check things out. There's loads and loads and loads and loads of free content that you can just... We had a customer, he was like, I'm all exhausted, he wrote in an email. He had been on the platform for 17 hours. It's like, my head is full now. So yeah, there's loads of stuff you can really get deep into. And thanks for coming and thanks for listening. I hope it helps one way or another. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to Performance Days Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright April 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.